It's time for Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio, discussing everything about food and spirits in Fairbanks. Fairbanks Foodies is being brought to you by Fairbanks Beer, Ivory Jack's, Rat Pack Cigar, and Quality Food Sales. Now your host, David Prues.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to our great show here, Fairbanks Foodies, on KFAR Radio. This is a great programming network on Saturdays. We got so many good shows for you. On Fairbanks Foodies, we go over recipes for you to try, restaurants to visit, beverages you can create, wonderful events that are happening in Fairbanks, food to share with your family and friends. Basically, we look at all types of food concepts for you to try, enjoy, and experience. If not once, maybe twice. Fairbanks Foodies is your original Saturday lineup production show, your OG in the local radio Saturday entertainment lineup that we bring to you every Saturday. And I thank Craig Campo for his show earlier. He's my warm-up guy, my junior varsity team. Love the guy. Like to bug him. What the heck. Lineup on Saturdays has grown, expanded. Wow. I mean, we've got a great lineup for you if you look at what we have. All local talent on so many subjects on KFAR Saturdays. There is definitely something for everyone on these shows, and so glad you're listening. Hey, so let's get started with our food show. It's the holidays. Come on. We're in mid-December now. We're looking at, look at Christmas food, the main event. It comes once a year. We went through Thanksgiving, yeah. Turkey, fowl, bird. But we're a nation of beef, not a fish nation, not a fowl nation. That's right, beef. So let's look at the two big beef portions that are popular on Christmas, things that we can do. Well, you have 10 days to get this set up. So my advice to you is to start the process now and enjoy the process. Really, enjoy this. We only have so many Christmases in our life, be with family and friends, and take your time, plan it out. What the heck? And we're going to talk about two portions today. And today is a Discover Day about prime rib and beef tenderloin. The turkey is behind us, and I'm not a ham fan in any way, shape, or form. And since this is my show, we're going to do prime rib and beef tenderloin dinners. Oh, yeah, that's right. Let's do this. Prime rib, my God. First of all, let's look at the history of prime rib. It's rooted in British tradition, particularly on Sunday roast. It's popularization as a symbol of prosperity during the Industrial Revolution. The dish's popularity exploded in the United States after World War II, becoming a symbol of abundance and a centerpiece of festive meals. Restaurants like Lawry's, the prime rib of Beverly Hills, opened in 1938, further cemented its status as a classic, with the restaurant calling itself an icon part of the dish today. So anyway, now it's called prime rib not because of the grade of beef, but because of the prime location of it in the cow. And it gets interesting that way. Prime rib isn't called prime rib because of the USDA grade. It's a shorthand for saying the prime rib loin. The cut of meat measures just from the loin. And the prime rib is between the 6th and the 12th ribs in the cow. Interesting. Now, here's a interesting thing. We're going to go through a couple of things here. And a butcher typically refers to prime rib as a standing rib roast or a rib roast. While prime is part of the common name, it refers to the cut's position as a primal cut from the rib section, not its USDA quality. So anyway, thought we'd get into that. Now we're gonna look at two ways to do a prime rib. The 500 degree method, which is a lot of fun and I've done. But I'm gonna go through near every Christmas, I get a text from Glenner. He needs my prime rib recipe. So I found one that I sent to Glenner through, that I'd also given a lady in my office, Marjorie. You know, everyone wants prime rib recipes, so it's great. So here it is for by email, Glenner. Here's what I'm doing. I bought the prime rib at Freddy's. It was a selection just under prime and just above choice. I will have to do tomorrow's show, but started at 7.62 pounds. I pulled the prime rib out of the refrigerator at 8 a.m., still wrapped, letting it come to room temperature at 1:30 p.m., trimmed off the excess fat and cut the string. Since it did not have a bone in it, no need to keep a string. First thing I did was put a coating of Lee and Perrins on it, a real good coat. Let it set for 15 minutes, and I put it in the spice layers. First, ground sea salt. Second layer, granulated garlic. Third layer, executive chef seasoning. Oh, lots of tongue twisters there. I let it sit around till 3 p.m. So it's been out now for almost 7 hours. Then I put some Lee and Perrins on the top only. We're building a crust. 3:30 p.m., I put another round of seasoning. Not so much this time. Then a little Lee and Perrins. I'm trying to have Lee and Perrins not flow over the sides. I want to top the prime rib on top of the spices. 3:45, I put 3 cubes of butter on top of the prime rib. See the photo. I would say on this larger piece, at 2.25 would do it. So I mounted the rest down the center lengthwise of the prime rib. That way, when it melts, it gives an equal portion to the prime rib. On top of the butter, I put a good coat of Herbes de Provence. 3:45 p.m., I put in the oven, bake 500 degrees. I put the prime rib in a broiler pan with a meat rack, keeping the meat off the metal of the bottom. Then I take a bottle of wine, a good bottle of red wine, and pour it in the boiler pan. A French wine costs $20. I then put water in the wine and bring the liquid level to where it touches the prime rib, barely, by about 1/4 inch. Then I put the foil over the broiler pan. I want to have and hold some steam in the broiler pan from the wine, water, butter, spices that will come from the prime rib to the broiler pan. 4:10 p.m., into the oven at 500 degrees. Put a thermostat probe in the center of the prime rib. 4:40 p.m., I moved the temperature down to 175 degrees. So I had the temperature at 500 degrees for 30 minutes. I moved the temperature down to 175 degrees, and that's where it'll stay. I will view the temperature climb. I want to serve it at about 130 degrees, so I'll pull it at 123 degrees, as it will rise 5 to 8 degrees over the 20 minutes I have it tent foiled and resting. So, anyway, my projected dining time is between 6:20 and 6:40 p.m. I'll photo and send it to you when we are done, and then I will cut into it. Only the best for my buddy. Take care. So, now, what you can also do, what I also like doing is I like getting a beef base and rubbing the whole thing in a beef base. The whole thing. Then putting on my granulated garlic, my Herbes de Provence, you know, just doing it that way. And then butter on the top. Butter on the top, spreading butter on top, and having it melt as it comes up to heat. And again, use a temperature gauge. Every oven's different. Every oven, you know, how you do it is different. So every piece of meat, size, texture, tenderness, all different. But go ahead and do it that way. Then we have the 500-degree method. And this is back to the basics, you know. And what I like to do is I get a two-ribber. This is for about, you know, two ribs is going to be about 5.5 to 6 pounds right in there, but you're going to measure it. And what we're going to do is we're going to pull out a calculator, and we're going to roast it at 5 minutes per pound. And what we're going to do is, as an example, say a 5.75-pound rib roast with two ribs. It's going to feed 4 adults, and hey, so 5 minutes times 5.75 pounds is, hey, 29 minutes. And, you know, you keep this in the back of your mind. There are no measurements here. So just lots of amounts of how you're going to do it. So I'm going to keep this at 500 degrees for 5.75 minutes. Excuse me. I'm going to keep this at 500 degrees for 29 minutes. Now I'm going to take my butter. And what I like to do is I like to get my butter all whipped up. And I put my herbs de Provence in there. Yeah, because this is all going to be butter. We're not putting anything else on it in regards to the beef base. But we're gonna this wrap it in butter with herbs de Provence, granulated garlic, ground pepper in there. And you're going to probably need about, again, 3 cubes of butter. And, you pull them out and you get let them soften for about 2 hours. And you're going to pull this out and, again, allow it to come to room temperature. And that's very important. So make sure this is at room temperature, you know, so pull it about 4 hours in, out and do it that way. And enjoy it. And then what I do is I put in a thermometer in it, and boom, 500 degrees. It's in there for 30 minutes. And then I shut off the oven. 500 degrees, 29, 30 minutes, shut it off. And after about approximately 2 hours, you should be good to go. But here's the thing about it. You have a temperature thermometer in there, and you have it, you know, with a wire, so you're reading the temperature gauge. Since the oven is off, it's going to be the last 30 minutes getting across the finish line, so to speak, at 128 to 130 degrees. It's not, when you pull it out, it's not going to rise in temperature that much, maybe 2 degrees. Because it's been resting in an unoperating oven, still coming up in temperature. And so, hey, you pull it out, let it rest for 10 minutes anyway, instead of the 30 minutes on the big one. And, man, there you go. Perfect. Succulent. Medium rare. Oh, man. So I've given you 2 ways to do prime rib. So, of course, I have to give you an au jus recipe. And, hey, what I like doing is I like taking au jus, you know, like a little bowl of it, and putting my horseradish in there. I really enjoy doing that. So, anyway. So, au jus is one of the most important parts. This is where the flavor comes from. Must be made, I'd say, about 3 hours in advance. Any leftover can be refrigerated, and it stays good, you know, a month. And it's great for French dip sandwiches. Always stir before using, dividing into separate containers, because pepper does not dissolve and will settle at the bottom. So your ingredients are 1/2 cup of soy sauce, 5 1/2 cups of water, 2 tablespoons of beef base, any brand, 1/2 tablespoon of garlic powder or granulated garlic, 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper, and 1/4 teaspoon of whole celery seed. So you're going to bring the soy sauce and the water to a boil, remove from the heat, then add the beef base to taste, then add more beef base depending on your salt and how you like it. Then add the celery seed, black pepper, cover and set aside, and just before using, bring it back to a boil and reduce heat to simmer. So that's how we do it. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
Looking for bold flavors, friendly faces, and a place that just feels right? Welcome to Humble Roots Beer Project, the newest craft brewery in Fairbanks. Located at 314 Wendell Avenue, mere steps from the heartbeat of downtown, from crisp lagers to hoppy IPAs and smooth stouts, there's a pour for every palate. Join us in our laid-back tap room. Grab a fresh crowler to go. Come see what's brewing at Humble Roots Beer Project. Stay stoked on. Looking for bold flavors, friendly faces, and a place that just feels right? Welcome to Humble Roots Beer Project, the newest craft brewery in Fairbanks. Located at 314 Wendell Avenue, mere steps from the heartbeat of downtown, from crisp lagers to hoppy IPAs and smooth stouts, there's a pour for every palate. Join us in our laid-back tap room. Grab a fresh crowler to go. Come see what's brewing at Humble Roots Beer Project. Stay stoked on local.
Bobby's Downtown is more than fine dining. It's a way of life. We welcome everyone and look forward to serving you. Whether you're in your Carhartts or your evening gown or tux. Yes, us. This is Rena from Bobby's Downtown. Come in and have an unforgettable dining experience. The Art Deco interior strikes a balance between casual and fine dining. Whether you're in the mood for pizza or prime rib, you'll find it at Bobby's Downtown. Open late Friday and Saturday nights, always non-smoking, on the corner of 2nd and Barnett.
Rat Pack Cigar on Old Airport Road near Fred Meyer West, with the largest selection of cigars in Alaska and an awesome tasting room where you can kick back and enjoy a smoke with your friends in comfy leather chairs watching the game on a big screen. That's Rat Pack Cigar, with an incredible humidor filled with almost 150 varieties of cigars of the highest quality. Rat Pack Cigar, open 11 to 7, 7 days a week on Old Airport Road near Fred Meyer West. It's the all-new Rat Pack Cigar.
And now, back to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse, hope you're enjoying your Saturday here with me. Hey, we're looking at the big meats on Christmas Day. We went through prime rib, two ways to cook it. And, you know, it's a couple things you can do. You can put it in your refrigerator uncovered for about 24 hours in advance. That starts the drying out process. And always make sure the prime rib is at room temperature before you put it in the oven. So let's look at beef tenderloin. We're going to do it two ways with beef tenderloin. One is just cooking the beef tenderloin and having fun with it. And the other way is a beef Wellington. Now, the beef tenderloin, that's what's used in your very fine dining restaurants. It's very nice. It's delicate. People say it doesn't come with that much flavor, but I think it does. So we're going to look at different ways to flavor it up, as I speak. So I've got a great recipe here. You know, I love my sauces, and we're going to have a beef tenderloin with a creamy mushroom sauce, and it's juicy, tender, luscious, silky, smooth mushroom sauce. This is pure comfort. And, you know, why are you going to like this recipe? The simple elegance of it. You know, the beef tenderloin is the top part of the loin, the beef loin. So it's the least rugged part of the cow. And this, simply elegant, the tenderness of the beef and the richness of the sauce make for a perfect combination. A flavor boost, overnight salting and garlic thyme butter slather that I like to make up work magic on this meat's flavor and texture. And then you can roast this at slow temperatures. Gives you a perfect medium rare beef without stress on it. Now, each ingredient in this, the beef tenderloin with the creamy mushroom sauce, plays a role in ensuring that it's a perfect balanced meat and rich flavor sauce. We're being a Picasso here. We're being an artist, and we're going to enjoy this. Now, the beef tenderloin, you're going to choose a center cut. It's called the, for even cooking and tender texture, trying to keep its shape during roasting. What I like to do is when I cook, I like to tie the beef tenderloin, sear it, and then put it in the oven. But after I sear it, then I take off the tie on it. Butter, I always use unsalted butter. I use some garlic and thyme. Fresh, if you can get it. If not, cut back and use your dried. Vegetable oil, it has a higher smoking point, and that's what we're going to sear it in. White mushrooms, thin slicely. We're going to get some Marsala wine. It brings a nice subtle sweetness and depth to the sauce. Choose a dry, not the sweet. Go for a dry marsala because it's already sweet. Chicken stock adds some very good flavor and balance and creaminess in your sauce. And thick cream always, and salt and pepper. And then there's many ways to vary this. And so anyway, so step one is we're going to prep and salt the beef for maximum flavor. First, pat it dry. You're pulling it from its container, its packaging, and this is crucial for us here. Then you have to, from an untrimmed beef tenderloin, you have to trim it yourself, and trim it up. You're going to get about a 5-inch portion there, and then you're going to sprinkle some kosher salt and black pepper all over it, and put on a wire rack and pop in the fridge. Again, for 12 to 24 hours, this starts the drying process, tenderizing it even more. And if you don't, beef tenderloin is so good, you don't have to do this, but if you have time to do it, great. Then whip up the garlic, thyme, butter, slather, while the beef chills, mix in the soft, unsalted butter with finely granulated garlic, chopped French thyme, a pinch of salt and butter. This paste is pure gold. Bring it to a room temperature, and then we're going to sear. We're going to take the beef out of the fridge for about 2 hours before cooking it evenly. Then heat the vegetable oil in a heavy skillet, like I use my cast iron, and just you're putting your oil in there and you're smoking. Then you sear it aggressively on all sides, and you get a nice brown crust. This seals in the juices and adds flavor. After searing, place the beef back on a rack for 15 minutes. Let it cool slightly so the butter won't melt immediately when applied. Then you're going to take your butter and you're going to preheat the oven to 250 degrees Fahrenheit. You're going to take your garlic thyme butter and put it all over the top, and on the sides you're going to slather it. You're going to put it in the oven for about 15 minutes and pull it out. And do it all over again. Put it more butter all over this thing. Return it to the oven for 25 to 35 minutes, or the internal temperature reads 125 to 128 degrees for medium rare. Oh, yeah. So you're putting it in at 250 degrees for 15 minutes, and you've slathered it. You're pulling it out, and you're slathering it all again. Then you're putting it back in for another 25 to 35 minutes. Two slathers. Rest and let it rest for 10 minutes, then slice, and oh yeah. Now, but you have to make the creamy mushroom sauce. And so you can take your pan juices in a bowl, and just pour a quarter of a cup of that into your skillet, add the sliced mushrooms, and cook till they are sweated. Add the garlic and the spring thyme that you want, cooking for another couple minutes until softened. Add the chicken stock, reduce it by half, then stir in the marsala wine, the cream, the black pepper, and reserve pan juices, and simmer and let it cook thickened and luscious tasting to the wonderful end there. Oh, boy. So it gets fun. Now, these are your ingredients. I brought you through the process, but these are your ingredients. For the beef, you're going to have your center cut of beef tenderloin. It's the filet mignon part, if you're wondering what this is. And then you're going to have a teaspoon and a half of kosher salt, half teaspoon of black pepper cracked, 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil. For your garlic thyme butter slather, you're going to have, I'd say 1 cube. And then with that cube, you're going to have one teaspoon of garlic finely grated, not garlic granulated. This is fresh garlic. You're finely grating it. 1 teaspoon of fresh thyme leaves finely chopped, 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper. That's all in your butter slather. And then in your creamy mushroom sauce, you're going to have, I'd say 4 ounces of 5 ounces or white mushrooms, sliced thin. 1/2 teaspoon of garlic, finely minced. 1 sprig of thyme, 3/4 cup of Marsala. It's an Italian fortified wine, if you're wondering what it is. 1/2 cup of low-sodium chicken stock. 1/4 cup of thickened cream, and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper. There you go. So, oh, it's good. Now, beef Wellington, you know, it's as good as it gets and how you do it and why you do it. And so, anyway, now, the beef Wellington is a dish that was started because of the Duke of Wellington beat Napoleon in 1813 at Waterloo. So what the heck? And 1815, rather, the Duke of Wellington, Battle of Waterloo. So there's 4 layers of beef Wellington. And there's the seasoning on it. There's the duxes, which is a buttery mushroom paste. The 3rd layer is the prosciutto. It gets wrapped in. And finally, everything gets enveloped in a golden fluffy puff pastry. So on the beef, again, same thing as a filet. You're going to get the 5-inch center there out of it and salt and pepper it. Then you're going to put oil on it, and you're going to tie it. Again, you're going to tie it. And then you're going to sear it on all sides, sear it until it's seared. Then you're going to pull it out. Then you're going to put the mustard on it while it's still hot. Put the mustard on it. Put it in the oven for 30 minutes. You're cooling it off. You're letting the mustard seep in. Then the duxelles. Get your mushrooms out. Button, cremini, shiitake. You're probably going to need about 16 ounces of mushrooms. And you're going to get out your big processor that you keep downstairs for special occasions. And then butter and herbs and flavor. So what you're going to do is get some shallots, garlic, thyme leaves, put it all in your food processor, and you're going to hit it. You're going to get a blend almost thoroughly done. Then you're going to take that, and you're going to burn off, cook off the water. It's going to take you about 10, 15 minutes. And then you're going to take your assembly, you're going to take your prosciutto, and you're going to lay it out. And on top of the prosciutto, you're going to put this all on a nice thing of cellophane wrap, plastic wrap. And you're going to put down your prosciutto. And then over that, you're going to put your duxelles on it. Then from there, you're going to wrap that in your beef tenderloin. And you're going to do that. And you're going to wrap it in your, you're going to wrap that in your plastic wrap and put that back in the refrigerator. Wrap it tight, put it in the refrigerator for at least another 15, 20 minutes because you want it to be wrapped tight. And then what you do is you're going to take your puff pastry, you're going to roll it out, you're going to put your puff pastry down, take out your refrigerated beef tenderloin with everything on it, unwrap it, put it on top of your puff pastry, wrap it in it, and then you're going to take egg wash, 1 egg, and wash it all. And this is when I put the, after it's all washed and ready to go, I put a meat thermometer in. At 450 degrees, I put it in. It's going to take about 35, 40 minutes, but with that meat thermometer, it's great. And I pull it out, and it's beautiful, and it's ready to go. And what you should do, what you can do, is you can go to someplace like Pinterest or other places on the net and look at how to do something like this. It's incredible. It's beautiful. You can do it. I didn't have enough real time left in the show to get it done, to give all the descriptions for you, so I do apologize about that. But go to Pinterest and places like that, and you'll get it. That is our show. You have a great day, and I'll see you next Saturday.
You have been listening to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the website. Fairbanks Foodies has been brought to you by Fairbanks Beer, Ivory Jack's, Rat Pack Cigar, and Quality Food Sales.